Well, how's everybody doing today on this Mother's Day? Yeah, well, I'm Carter, and I'm one of the pastors here. I want to thank you for being with us today on Mother's Day. But hey, since it is, let's make sure that we thank all of our moms today. Can we thank them and honor them today for being moms, what they do? Yeah. Man, it's no easy task to be a mother at any time, but especially in today's culture. So I just want to honor you all and say thank you for what you do as moms. It's very important because you have a unique role in shaping your family, which is what we're going to talk about today, okay? So you guys can turn to Proverbs chapter 19, and we're going to be in Proverbs 31. You can find it on your Bible app or turn there in the Bible. We'll go to a few other Proverbs, but we're going to see just how dads have a unique role in setting the direction of the family. Moms also have a unique role. Dads might primarily set the direction, but moms set the tone. All right, that's what we're going to talk about. Y'all know the saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy? Yeah, we all know that because it's true, okay? Yeah, a little bit more than dads, perhaps. Dads maybe get angry and they go cool off. I just laughed at my dad when he got angry, you know, when I was a kid because he was funny when he was angry. So I don't know about your dad. It might have been more serious than that. But, you know, dads usually just go cool off and it's done and whatever. But moms, if they're not happy, man, it changes the entire tone of the situation, doesn't it? I mean, moms can, they do that. They have that effect on a family. They set that tone, now, whether it's peaceful or tense, whether it's calm or chaotic. And what we mean by tone is just that tone is what a family feels like on the inside. And more often than not, moms carry that unique influence in shaping the tone even more so than dads. Not that dads don't, but moms primarily set the tone. In our culture, it tends to push back against that kind of thing. It's like they think that we're minimizing women and putting them in a box anytime we talk about gender differences. So they swing the pendulum so far the other direction that they don't like to admit there are gender differences at all. And I just think that's very dangerous and unhealthy. Because women can do things that men can never do. We need to acknowledge that. I mean, the biggest one is that you all have the capacity to grow another human being inside of you, which is very important, right, in multiple ways. But even outside the Bible, we have the differences of gender roles in the Bible. That's a moral design issue for Christians. But outside the Bible, there's biological research that points in the same direction, isn't there? Psychologists have shown that children develop their sense of emotional security through attachment not to dads, but most often with their mother. And that her presence helps shape how a child learns to regulate their emotions. Very important biologically. That has to do with their brain development. That's not just some kind of moral construct or cultural construct, okay? That's development. Very important. So recognizing how influential a mom's role is that's different from a dad's is going to be very important for us. We can't homogenize gender in that way. Moms are built differently. And this is the main idea if you're taking notes. I already said it's the title of our sermon. Moms set the tone of a family. That's the very simple main point. Doesn't mean that everything rises and falls on you moms. We'll talk about that as we go on. But it does mean that you're primarily responsible for the tone. The presence in the family that you have sets the tone, even more so than dads. It's the coach-counselor analogy that we used a few weeks ago when I did talk to dads. Do you remember that? Dads tend to be more like coaches. They push and challenge. They help their kids take risks. That's very important in a child's development. But moms tend to act more like counselors in the sense that they bring comfort and they help process emotions. They create a sense of safety and belonging. You know, mama bear comes out. You know, that's the thing. Moms provide that kind of security, but it's much deeper than a physical security. It's an emotional security because when kids want to wrestle and push the limits, they go to dad. But when kids need comfort and reassurance, who do they go to? They go to mom. They need that from mom. So that's a mom's primary role, is to set the tone in the family. Both things are needed. Counselor, coaching, very important. But moms primarily set the tone. So Proverbs is going to show us how powerful that is. Let's look at Proverbs 19 together, starting in verse 13. We're going to see over the course of this that there are two tones that really get set by moms. There's one that's developed by pressure, and then there's one that's developed by wisdom. We're going to compare and contrast both of those tones, all right? So the first tone is pressure. This is what Proverbs 19, verse 13 says. A foolish child is a calamity to a father. A quarrelsome wife is as annoying as constant dripping. Uh-oh, here we go. Okay, we're going to get into it. Fathers can give their sons an inheritance of houses and wealth, but only the Lord can give an understanding wife. In other words, an understanding wife is a gift from God. Proverbs is very honest about what it looks like to be in a family that goes wrong, right? God bless our moms. That's all right. Don't you worry about it. That's right. That's what a mom does right there, you know, comfort. So what he's doing is he's talking about how it goes wrong, right? He's saying that this is experiential. The father is trying to describe to his son what it feels like to live in this kind of tone of a family. And it's very easy to see that it's not good. I mean, he's getting at how it feels to be around a quarrelsome wife and something like this, a wife that's not understanding. Now, remember, this is a father speaking to his son, so he's specifically talking about a wife here. We could just as easily apply this to husbands. Remember, this is general wisdom in Proverbs. He just happens to be a father talking to a son, so he's naturally going to use the example of a wife. And so let's just go down that road, since that's who it's primarily aimed at. You could do it for husbands or wives, but he's talking about a wife, so let's go down that road. A wife who constantly wants to fight is like a constant dripping faucet. So it's not really loud or explosive in some sense. It's just constant. You try to ignore it, but it just keeps coming back up. It keeps bothering you, and it drains you of your energy. It wears on you over time. And it's almost one of those things where you don't notice it at first, but after a while, it drives you crazy, and it can be a big deal if you don't address it. That's the tone that Proverbs is describing here. Here's how you can think of it. The tone sets the emotional and relational temperature in the home. It's like how a thermostat sets the temperature physically, right? A thermometer tells you what the temperature is, but a thermostat sets the temperature in your home. Okay, well, the tone sets that temperature relationally and emotionally. And here in the text, it's not necessarily chaos every day, although I guess it could be that. But he's describing a steady undercurrent of tension. It might sound like something like constant correction and nitpicking of whether it's for the husband or the children. Quick frustration and anger. Anxious or worrisome reactions to everything. And it just takes over the whole family, or sharp responses to things. Yet it might feel like walking on eggshells for the family. Or always feeling like there is tension in the air between mom and dad, or feeling like you can never quite be at ease and rest in your home, or things are just never good enough for mom, so it's got to be better all the time. And notice this isn't describing one big moment here either. It's describing a pattern that is set in the home. It's not talking about having a bad day, right? It's not talking about getting frustrated every once in a while or being short every so often. You know, none of us are perfect. But this is a pattern that's set that develops over time and slowly shapes how a family feels, the family dynamic, if you will. And while dads can absolutely contribute to that, this connects to how God designed men and women to work in the first place in the very beginning. Women have a role. They have a unique primary role here. Genesis 2:18, God says, "It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." See, that word helper doesn't mean lesser. It means a corresponding strength, as a matter of fact. It's complementary. It's a design issue. And in a family, one of the greatest things a child needs early on is emotional regulation and stability. They need that relational stability that they get from a mom. So when we say moms tend to set the tone, we're not talking about personality or proclivities, things that you just like. We're talking about a God-designed influence in relationships here. It's very important. Again, that doesn't mean dads don't have that kind of influence at some level, but in God's design, men tend to lead outwardly while women tend to shape inwardly. And that naturally affects the tone of the family. Proverbs is saying the relational influence is very powerful. Think about a normal morning in a household where you're trying to get out the door with your kids. You know, somebody can't find their shoes, somebody forgot their homework, somebody's moving super slowly and you're all out the door while they're still inside. One version of that could be, "Hey, come on, what are you doing? What is wrong with you? We're going to be late because of you." Man, that sets a tone, doesn't it? Everybody can feel that. There's tension there. But think about a disciplinary moment you might have to have. A child disobeys and your tone can be immediate frustration and sharp tongue, right? you can correct them immediately in a really difficult way. It's clearly more about control and convenience for you than about formation for them. And what you do is you make it feel personal to them. They take it personally, and you take it personally. Or at the end of the day, maybe everybody's tired, and you get home, and your tone could be just to be short with everybody and snap over small things because you're tired. You want everybody else to feel the tension that you feel. That's what Proverbs is getting at here. It's not just what happens or what's said, but it's how it feels when it's said. Scripture takes it even deeper. We read this a few weeks ago. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Mothers, what's happening inside of you eventually becomes what your family experiences from you. That's very important to see here. That's what wisdom is. Remember, it starts in the heart. We've talked about that for weeks. That's the tone. Proverbs reinforces that again in Proverbs 27:15. It says, "A quarrelsome wife is like the dripping of a leaky roof." He really wants us to get the picture, doesn't he? He wants us to have that vivid example. It's a similar picture to what we read in 19. Same idea. Relational friction that doesn't necessarily explode, but it's just constant in the background. And it can cause seemingly irreparable damage. I mean, just think about the image of a leaky roof, right? It's not super noticeable at first. You don't usually know when a roof is leaking until it's really bad or too late. That's when you know. When it becomes catastrophic, that's when you finally find out it's gotten down in the walls. It's gotten all over your house. You're going to have to replace your roof. You're going to have to replace your insulation. You're going to have to replace everything. You're going to have to gut your house sometimes. It can be catastrophic. That's why Proverbs 21:9 says, "Better to live on the corner of a roof than with a quarrelsome wife." Why? Because that's how powerful tone is. It'll make people in your family want to go leave and be somewhere else, not be around you. Because they don't feel emotionally safe. They'd rather be up on the corner of a roof where it's dangerous than be with you because it feels more safe to be on the dangerous roof than it is to be with you. That's what he's talking about. Again, that can be applied to husbands and fathers. We're talking to you, wives. Okay, this is your moment now, right? I was pretty hard on dads a few weeks ago. This is for you. That kind of tone doesn't usually just come out of nowhere either. It often grows out of pressure. Pressure that you feel. Moms, maybe you feel responsible for everything. You're trying to manage everything in the house, carrying more weight than you're meant to carry. Well, over time, that pressure, it starts to come out in your tone. It starts to build up, and you can't contain it anymore. And that affects the tone of your family, how everybody's relating and speaking to one another, how much fun they're able to have or not, and how maybe they remain close to you or they don't as they grow up and you send them on their way. That's how serious tone can be. And that's one picture that Proverbs gives us here. It's a tone that's shaped by the pressures that you feel. And those pressures squeeze what's inside of you and it comes out. But that's not the only picture. Thank God. We have a picture of wisdom and what wisdom can do and what it produces. So we can contrast that picture of a mom's tone shaped by pressure with the Proverbs 31 mom that's shaped by wisdom. This is what it says. Proverbs 31:26. "When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness." Then skip to verse 30. It says, "Charm is deceptive, and beauty doesn't last. But a woman who fears the Lord, she will be greatly praised." See, this is a woman who, when she speaks, her family wants to listen to her. They don't want to go live up on the corner of a roof. They want to come be with her. They want to sit at her feet and understand what she has to say because she's wise. And we'll talk about communication more next week and the words that we use and how important that is. But this is getting at the tone more than anything that she's setting. A wise mother, she's not silly. You know, she's not thoughtless in how she lives. She's not harsh. She's not overbearing. And she's wise. She gives instructions that make sense. She does it in a kind way that sets a welcoming tone where kids can belong and feel safe. This is a woman whose tone is shaped by something deeper than pressure. But it says here, by the fear of the Lord, right? Now, we've gone over this quite a bit, and we prayed about it just a few minutes ago. The fear of the Lord doesn't mean fear like terror. It's reverence. It's trust. It's dependence on God. It means the heart is anchored in your relationship with Him. So her tone isn't constantly shifting with her circumstances. She's rooted in God. A wise mom's tone is shaped by who she trusts the most. That's what a wise mom looks like. Your tone is shaped by who you trust. Think back to the examples that we said a few minutes ago here. You're trying to get your kids out the door. It's chaotic in the morning. Somebody's moving slow. Nobody's listening. Everybody's just doing their own thing. And you, mom, have to get them in the car. Do you use that sharp tone? Or do you say, hey, all right, listen, hey, we're behind. Well, we got to move together. Come on, let's go. We got to move together. We got to go. You don't blame anybody. It's not sharp. It's not personal. Totally different feel. You're still correcting, perhaps, as you need to. You're still moving, but it's calm and it's measured. Why? Well, because your security isn't tied to everything going right. It's not personal. Or your kid disobeys. You might have to correct them, but it's not out of anger or frustration for your convenience. It's for their formation. And so you do it in an intentional way. You don't freak out. You don't have freak out moments when you have to discipline. You're aiming for their heart, not their behavior. So you can make it less personal and more pastoral. Less personal and more patient. Why? Well, because you're not reacting to them because it's personally inconvenient for you. You're doing it for their good, to form them into the image of what you want them to become. All same circumstances, but with completely different tones, right? The difference isn't personality or even the pressures that you face. It's what's happening in your heart, moms. What's going on inside? Proverbs says the wise Proverbs 31 woman fears the Lord, which means she trusts God is in control. She knows she doesn't have to be. She trusts He's the Savior. She knows she doesn't have to save anybody. She depends on Him, not herself. A great example of this in the Bible is the judge Deborah. You guys ever read this story in Judges 4? If you recall, God brought Israel out of Egypt and promised them that they could have the land. They would have to go in and take it. And over the years, they didn't have a king yet, but He raised up judges to lead over them. And the Bible tells us that everyone did what was right in their own eyes during that time in Israel. So the tone of the country and the tone of the nation was chaotic and unpredictable. Moral depravity for a lot of the time. And so people didn't trust in God. And yet, we're told that Deborah steps in as a judge. And at the time, Israel was behind. They were afraid of their enemies because they were outmatched militarily. And they didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't trust God at all. And they had a military leader named Barak who came in. And he was even afraid. And God told him to go out into battle. And he wouldn't do it yet. He was timid. And so he goes to Deborah and says, okay, well, I'll go out into battle if you come with me. Because she represented God's presence. And she could have taken that moment, and she could have been sharp and cutting. She could have cut him down and said, aren't you a man of faith? What's wrong with you? Don't you trust God? Come on. Be a man. Lead. Now, what did she do? She went to him and said, hey, God has already told you what to do. Now you just need to go do it. And she did it in a way, she said, the Lord has already gone before you. She reminded him to trust God. She did it in such a humble, she didn't try to go in and take control. She didn't go in, okay, well, let me do it. You know? She went in humbly and reminded him of God's presence. That's a wise woman right there. It changed the tone of the whole situation. It was already chaotic. It was already bad. She came in with her presence, and she brought some kind of calm and steadiness to it. See, wisdom doesn't remove the pressures of life, but it changes what those pressures produce in us. Because we're like a sponge, right? Like I said, when we have that pressure come, it squeezes us. Whatever's inside, it comes out, doesn't it? And a lot of times, what comes out ain't good, because the difference is going to be what's happening in your heart. So moms, let me ask you, what is happening in your heart right now? What's happening in your heart today? You might be looking at Proverbs 31 going, well, that's just not me. I'm marked by the pressure, not by the wisdom. I see that. It's very clear in my life. Because when pressure hits, you know exactly what comes out, and it ain't good, and so does your family. They see it. And you might realize, man, I get tense. I get short. I get frustrated. I don't just have bad days. This is a pattern that I've set. I get impatient. I know that my family is not pleased with me sometimes. It feels like they don't want to be around me. Well, it's because they're experiencing your tone. And when that happens, most of you tend to go one of two directions. When you start to realize that you are not the Proverbs 31 woman, You go one of two ways. Some of you move toward control. You feel the pressures, so you try to manage everything even more. Every behavior, every response, every outcome. You start correcting everybody constantly because you have to manage the situation. You're in control. You point everything out that bothers you. You nitpick. Your patience is very short because they're not doing what you've said. Everything feels pretty tense for you and for them. It's control. But then often others of you move toward guilt. And you swing the pendulum all the way the other direction. You compare yourself to Proverbs 31 or to other moms that you know or to what you see on social media. And you start to believe everybody else has it all together and you don't. You feel defeated. You feel alone. And that might look like feeling overwhelmed. You know, that's maybe the big one. You're completely paralyzed to do anything now. So things in your life start to slip. Things around the house gets messier and messier. Your kids don't have everything they need all the time. And you just feel guiltier and guiltier. And you just wallow in the guilt. You just go down that spiral downward. Or it could look like withdrawal, where you just get more and more distant because you feel guilty. It can look like a lot of different things, but some of you guys who are working moms might look like overextending yourself at work. You pour everything into your career and your performance because you can control that. You feel guilty at home, so you withdraw from that, but you go deeper into your work or something else that takes up more of your time, all the while your family feels the distance and they miss your presence and you feel guiltier and guiltier. But see, there's control and there's guilt, and both of those, what they have in common is they're both rooted, and this is the problem, they're both rooted in carrying something you were never meant to carry. They're both rooted in an idolatry issue. You're trying to do something that you were never meant to do. Control says it all depends on me. Guilt says I'm not enough. Both assume the same thing. They both assume that you're ultimately responsible for holding everything in your family together. And that's why the pressure feels so heavy. Because you're not trying to be something that God designed you to be. You're trying to be something that He never designed you to be. And here's the reality. In a family, moms do carry a unique influence. So am I making a contradiction here? Am I saying, well, you're telling me that I'm responsible for the tone, but then you're telling me I'm not ultimately responsible for the tone. So is there some, what are we doing here? Well, maybe you've been trying to set the wrong kind of tone. Because you are responsible for the tone. Not, like I said, not all of it. And not alone, there are dads, but in a very real sense, if you believe that it all depends on you, then of course your tone's going to be shaped by the pressure that you feel. You're going to be sharp. You're going to withdraw because you think everything relies on you, and that's not what the Bible's telling us. Moms, what if the pressure you're feeling is coming from believing something that isn't true about yourself? What if you were never meant to carry the full weight of it all? Because here's the truth, that's not your role, that's God's. And when you try to step into His role, even with good intentions, man, it's going to crush you if it hasn't already because you don't have the capacity to carry it. That's exactly why we have Jesus. That's why the gospel is so important. Not just to give you a better example, but to take your place so that you can ultimately live into who He's created you to be. Here's the gospel truth for us. Jesus lived with perfect wisdom and set a perfect tone. Whether you're a mom here or not, where you've been impatient, Jesus was perfectly patient in your place. Where you've been anxious, He's been perfectly at peace in your place. Where you've been overwhelmed, He's trusted the Father completely for you. See, He not only lived the perfect life that you and I should live, but then He went to the cross and died in our place, not just for what we've done, but for what we failed to be. He's designed us to work a certain way. He's designed us to be who He's created us to be, and we've all failed in that. So moms, listen, you don't have to carry the weight of being a perfect mom or a perfect wife or perfect anything, really. Through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, His tone is patient. His tone is kind and merciful and grace-filled. He's been perfect for you. You need to believe that because when you do, it changes everything for you. Because He didn't just forgive us. He sent us a helper to be with us as well. John 14:16 says that Jesus would send another helper, the Holy Spirit, whom He calls the Comforter. Which means, moms, you don't have to be the source of peace in your family. You get to live into the source of peace, Jesus Himself, through His Holy Spirit. Let me say it another way. You're a good comforter, moms, but you were never meant to be the ultimate one. You're not the ultimate comforter. Think about your own child and when they're overwhelmed. Maybe they're crying, maybe they're upset, maybe they're melting down. What do they do? Well, they come to you because you're mom and you provide that emotional security. You're not perfect. You may not even be able to fix the situation, but your presence is what makes the difference for them. That's what God offers you if you believe the gospel, if you believe what Jesus has done for you. He offers you that presence. He offers your children that presence. He offers that comfort that you're looking for. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. You are the reflection. He is the reality. You're simply pointing your children to Him. That's the tone you need to set. Your true role is to point them to Jesus. So you don't have to manufacture patience. You can receive it from Him and give it to them because of what He's doing in your heart. You don't have to hold everything together. You can completely trust that God already is and point your children to see that. You don't have to pretend to be at peace. You can ask your perfect Heavenly Father to give you the peace that surpasses all understanding, and He will, and you'll pass that peace on to your children. Not because you have to do any of it, but because He's doing it in you, and then He'll do it through you if you'll let Him. The Comforter will be there. He will comfort you. And when you feel the pressure rising in your life, when you feel your tone start to shift because of that pressure, and you shift into the unwise, sharp, dripping faucet kind of tone, you don't have to double down on control, try to make sure everything's the way it should be, or you don't have to double down on guilt and go, well, I'm just the worst. No, listen, you can take that to God and you can pray to Him, and He will give you comfort in those moments when you need it. He really will. You can ask for His help. See, you don't have to set the perfect tone because you trust the perfect Savior. And you're pointing your kids to Him. So, now what you'll do is you'll set a different kind of tone in your family. They might see you struggle, but they're also going to see your dependence. They won't see a perfect mom, no, but they'll see a mom who knows who to go to when she isn't perfect. You'll be setting a tone of faith, a tone of dependence on God. You'll be providing the stability that God is with them. You might not always be perfect, but their Heavenly Father is. That creates a completely different tone in a family, a tone marked by humility and grace and love and trust and security of a different level than whatever you could provide. That's the kind of tone you want to set. It's a tone of dependence and faith, not perfection, but direction, as we've been talking about with wisdom here. You know, in Psalm 127, it says children are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. You know, well, the warrior is God. He's the ultimate warrior shooting us out into the heart of the enemy. But I think we could compare dads to maybe being like the bow, the one that does the physical shooting, you know, because dads are violent like that and we like to push our kids, you know. But I think the moms are like the ones that are forming the arrows in the background. They're the ones shaping the arrows, because just because you shoot an arrow out doesn't mean it's going to fly straight. It has to be formed well. It has to be shaped so that it flies true when you release it. And I think that's the role that moms play in the family. They're the ones forming and shaping, not because of perfection, not because they're awesome, but because they're pointing to the God who is. You know, and it's no guarantee that that's always going to happen, that they're going to fly true when you release them out of your family. There's no guarantee of that. They'll go their own way. There's no promises. But you can point them to Jesus through the tone that you set while they're with you. You can even do that when they're gone. I want to give you an example of this. After her husband Jim was killed on the mission field, Elizabeth Elliot, she did something that makes zero sense to most people. She went back. And she didn't just go back on the mission field and say, well, I'm going to go be a missionary and I want my family. She went back to the very tribe that killed her husband. To the very people that killed her own husband. She went back to them, and she didn't go by herself. She took her family with her. Man, that sets a tone, doesn't it? What kind of tone does that set in a family? It says, you know what? I'm not just going to say that I trust God. I'm going to live it out with my life, and I'm going to show my children that. I'm just going to say that God is my protector. I'm going to actually put it to the test, and my children are going to see it. So much so that the same man that ended up killing her husband and the other men that were on that beach in Ecuador ended up becoming like a father to those children after he got saved. Because of her faith in God, not because she thought she was a perfect mom, because of the tone that she wanted to set and show that her children, she wanted to show to her children that God is better than anything. The mission is better than anything. She wanted to send out arrows in the hands of a warrior, and she took that very seriously. She formed them in faith. When a mom lives from dependence on God, she's not just teaching her kids about faith, she's living it before them and showing them. And I know for some of you guys, this gets very difficult. Because when we talk about a mom shaping the tone of a family, you go, well, my mom wasn't good. I didn't have a very good mother. You had a bad experience. Maybe your mom was not safe, and she still doesn't feel safe, perhaps. Maybe your relationship is still strained. You don't have a good relationship with her. It's broken. It's distant. Whatever the case is, if that's you, I just want to say that's very challenging and not something to brush past. It's hard. But I also want you to see something really important from the gospel here today. The fact that you are here, the fact that you are willing to follow Jesus, the fact that you're even listening to this and you want to apply God's truth to your life is a testament that your mom isn't the ultimate one who shapes you. God is. He's the one that you need to go for all that comfort, that emotional regulation, that trust, that belonging. He's the one that you can go to. But it also does mean that maybe you need to ask for forgiveness or extend for forgiveness. Maybe there's some kind of reconciliation that needs to take place. So I want to encourage you to do that today if that's you and you don't have a great relationship with your mom. For some of you, maybe the next step is moving toward that forgiveness and asking God to work that in your heart. But let me speak to you for a moment. Wives, if you feel like your husband isn't leading the way that he should in your family, I know that can be frustrating as well. And you're a mom that feels like you're having to do it all on your own. Maybe you are. Those are not easy moments. And I want to encourage you, don't try to step in and take control. Don't try to carry more than you should. Here's what I want to encourage you with. The tone that you bring into your marriage can either build up your husband or it can tear him down. And so I want to encourage you to try to build him up in the gospel. Don't try to control his leadership, but you can influence it by allowing God to help you fulfill your role by setting that tone of dependence and faith in God. You can trust him. Not compete with your husband, but compliment. Not speak harshly out of frustration, but speaking respectfully to the role that God has given him, even if he doesn't feel worthy of that respect. You're not helping your husband by stepping over him. You're helping shape what it feels like to follow God in your home. And he'll see that if you trust God. I want to encourage you with that. It's hard, but I just want to encourage you in that. And if someone in here wants to be a mother, let me speak to you for a minute, but you haven't been able to be one. Whether it's because you're not married yet or you're married and there's infertility or there's been miscarriages or whatever the case is, something tragic and heartbreaking. Man, being a mom is a worthy calling to pursue. There's no doubt. Keep asking God for that opportunity. I'm not saying don't. But I'm also saying don't miss the opportunities that he's given you. There are people in this congregation that need to be influenced by you, and you can set a tone in this place. You can set a tone in this family, this body of believers here. So I want to encourage you, don't miss out on that because you're wanting something that you don't have. Don't make an idol out of it. Again, worthy calling. Keep praying for it. But trust God above all else. And finally, to mothers in the room, you all have a high calling. I know mom guilt can be so powerful, and maybe you did set a tone of faith and dependence on Jesus, but your kids are grown and they don't follow Jesus now. You sent them out, but they went astray. That's very challenging and hard. Or maybe you're still a mom and they're still in your home, but you're afraid you're going to screw it all up. Well, maybe you are. But you do have a perfect God in heaven. If you rely on him, he'll give you wisdom and he'll be the one working. You don't have to. You don't have to carry that weight. Because listen, we can't control all things. These aren't promises in Proverbs, but they are patterns that we can set. And even if your child is gone out of your home and they aren't following Jesus, you can still set a tone. You can set a tone by showing them that the greatest thing in your life is what God has done for you. You can pray for them. You can show them the faith that you have. Not in an overbearing way. Again, you can't ram it down their throat. They have to trust you, but you can create a safe space for them to show them that your faith is really what's going to change everything for them too. Man, I want you to know, maybe you need to ask for forgiveness, moms. Maybe you need to spend time in prayer today asking God to forgive you. Maybe you need to ask forgiveness of your children. Maybe you really did screw everything up. Maybe you weren't a Christian when your kids were in the home. And you feel like you can look back and go, I wasn't perfect mom at all, and I didn't have any kind of faith or dependence. Go ask for forgiveness. That will set a tone for your children, your grown children. That'll set a tone for your family. So I'm going to do what I did for dads a few weeks ago. I'm going to ask you moms, if you're a mom in the room, would you stand to your feet so that we can pray over you for the next few minutes? And for the rest of us, let's close our eyes and bow our heads here. And if you are close to a mom, I would encourage you to either place your hand on that mom's shoulder or extend your hands to the closest mom toward you so that every one of our moms here is covered in prayer symbolically for us. Because, man, being a mom is a challenging thing. It's hard to trust God in the moments that pressure comes on, that we feel the need to control, or we feel that guilt overwhelm us. But we need to remember that Jesus took that guilt onto himself. So let me pray for you and ask God to help you remember that today. God, we come to you right now on behalf of the moms in this room. You see the weight that they carry, the pressures that they're feeling, God. You know the responsibility that they walk in every single day as parents in their home. And we ask, God, that you would help them release what they were never meant to carry to you. Help them to give it to you right now in this moment, whether it's the pressure to be perfect or the pressure to hold everything together or the pressure to always get it right. God, would you lift that weight off of their shoulders today? Please just remind them that you are the one holding everything together. They can trust you. God, help them to set that tone in their family today. You're their perfect father. You're the source of peace. You're the one who's ultimately present in their homes, even when they feel overwhelmed. God, your spirit, the comforter, would you fill them up right now? Where there's anxiety, God, would you bring them peace? Where they have frustration, God, would you bring them patience? God, where they're exhausted, would you please bring them strength and rest? Help them not to live from those pressures, but from your presence. Teach them what it looks like to come to you again and again as mothers who know aren't perfect, but they're trusting in the perfect Savior. God, I pray that they will really experience that, really feel that today, God. Help them to shape that tone in their families through faith. And let their children see not a perfect mom, but a mom who knows who to go to when she's not. And we thank you for these women. God, thank you for what mothers do. Thank you for each one of these moms who are shaping not only their families, but this church. Maybe even this city, maybe even peoples across the world. God, I pray that you'll bless them. Give them the strength that they need today. We pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Thanks so much for listening with us today. We hope that it was an encouragement to you. But you know, we don't see this as a replacement for gathering with other believers in a local church context. So if you don't have a local church, we would encourage you to plug in with one wherever you are. And if you're in Roanoke, Virginia, we'd love to invite you to plug in with us here at Redemption Church. And you're welcome anytime to gather with us. But you can check us out online at our website, redemptionroanoke.com. You can look for other content or resources there. But thanks again for listening.